Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will spend some time highlighting the latest iteration of the ongoing CEO Macro Briefing book series from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Joining me here today in studio at 1285, glad to welcome back Paul Hsiao, Asset Allocation Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Paul, welcome back. Nice to be with you today. Thank you for dropping by, spending some time with our listeners and clients. Nice to be at the table with you.
Glad to be back. Thanks, Dan.
So let's dive into this quarter's update as we're now fully in the second half of 2025. What major theme, Paul, should business owners be aware of?
The second half of the year, it's really a theme of policy convergence. So in the beginning of the year, I think markets, investors, business owners were waiting about how the economic environment, how the market environment will be changing under the new administration. And I think, you know, more than 6 months through the year now, we've had our answer, right? The two sort of major policy pushes from the administration has been, one, tariffs, which has generated a considerable amount of volatility. We haven't seen the effect on inflation numbers during the first half of the year. In fact, inflation has come below a lot of expectations, and that's helped the stock market prove resilient even after Liberation Day. But we do expect inflation to accelerate next coming quarters, not something akin to the shock that the supply chain shock that we saw right after the pandemic, but something closer to where core inflation rises to 3% when it has been in disinflation mode for the last 2 years. That's something that I think will weigh on businesses as well as policymakers. We've seen some evidence of front running, which is a lot of trade activity before tariffs have been implemented. But tariffs, the effect of tariffs in the back half of the year, but also the, let's say, stimulative effects from the passage of OBB, because it gives a lot of deal makers and businesses some tax certainty, especially in the short run. And I think the bill has been quite beneficial to a lot of business owners. So that does open the possibility for more investment throughout the back half of the year. So there, it is policy convergence, I think, in the second half of 2025.
So the macroeconomic environment here in the U.S. as it currently stands today, as we're recording here in early August, how has that evolved? How has that changed since the beginning of the year?
It might sound like a broken record from CIO, but U.S. economic activity growth has been pretty resilient so far in the first half of 2025, especially given a lot of the policy uncertainty, the negative effects from tariffs, the effects from higher than expected interest rates since, you know, a couple of years ago, we thought we'd have more substantial rate cuts by this point in time. But if you look at GDP growth, we think that it's a little below trend, but nothing that not quite recessionary. And if you look at growth expectations from the start of the year, it came down because of tariffs. But ever since then, it's sort of stabilized. And so the consensus is not expecting recession, as most people were expecting with the implementation of tariffs, but that outcome is still yet to be determined. But diving deeper into consumption, it has slowed down, but to a modest pace where we would expect GDP growth to go. And I think for the labor market especially, unemployment rate still remains quite low. And even though if you look at certain consumer surveys about where they think, how anxious they are about losing jobs, that has been higher, we're not quite seeing that in layoffs right now. And that's the critical indicator about whether or not we're going to head into recession on if companies start laying off people.
So economic conditions, given what they are today, can business owners expect lower interest rates from here?
I think that's another critical lever that policymakers have in order to spur activity. So we do have at least certainty, more certainty in policy when it comes to from the White House. So the question is, what's the Fed going to do next? And under this environment where you have inflation coming in a little higher than expected and growth still holding up, the Fed faces a pretty difficult challenge for the rest of the year because I think it does want to bring down interest rates, but it does also know that the pain of inflation has been quite substantial over the last couple of years. And the last thing that anybody wants right now is for inflation to really spiral out of control over the next couple of quarters. It does seem that Jerome Powell will be replaced next year. And so we are hearing several potential replacements for him, the candidates being a little more dovish on policy. So I think that the direction of travel for interest rates is still lower. The question is how much are we going to get and how fast it's going to be. In CIO, we are expecting several rate cuts starting in September. But certainly if the effect of tariffs is higher, that might put the risk to having interest rates stay a little more elevated than expected. But that's all in the short end. On the longer end of the curve, and I think that's the place that's a little more interesting and pertinent for a lot of business owners, we do expect interest rates to remain quite elevated for quite some time. Mm-hmm. As a result of these higher inflation expectations, but also there seems to be an added premium to U.S. debt as a result of the OBBB. So this is just for business owners to know that everyone probably would like lower interest rates, but they're probably going to remain elevated for the next couple of quarters.
Well, Paul, very helpful with our listeners managing expectations with respect to interest rates and what they perhaps will see in the months ahead. Since you're here, I do want to follow up on a conversation we had a few months ago specific on deal making. I know heading mm-hmm. into the year, there were a lot of high hopes as to a deal making and that breaking out. Didn't really come to pass, at least when we last spoke. What does the deal making in environment look like today?
I think given the challenges that still remain in the deal-making market, high interest rates, tariff risk, the regulatory environment probably for many people isn't as friendly as they thought it would be from the start of the Trump administration. But year-to-date, deal-making has still held up pretty well. Let me just call out a couple of places. Due to the challenges that M&A faces, I think this really favors scale deals, so those large transactions mm-hmm. where economies of scale start to work. And that's still very much in vogue. You know, according to different reports, scale deals are almost up in around 50 to 60% compared to where we were last year. So it does show that the environment is shifted in those deal makers in the market, even with those challenges, do face more pressure in order to pursue those deals, even with those challenges still in the market. From a sector perspective, tech, financial services are still leading the way. And it's really hard in the deal making space to not hear the word AI right now, because a lot of those acquisitions or partnerships that executives are pursuing, a lot of that is to bolster their AI capabilities, to mm-hmm. future proof their companies for the next 5 to 10 years, especially given perhaps some of the more favorable treatments under OBBB that business owners can take advantage of.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for dropping by for this quarter's update. Again, I do want to point our listeners, our clients, to the latest CEO Macro Briefing book, which is now available up on ubs.com/CIO. Though again, today we've been joined by Paul Hsiao, Asset Allocation Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Paul, thank you again for joining us, and I look forward to picking back up with the conversation next quarter.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.